Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson which you just heard a moment ago, Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. Which, of course, unfortunately, means that a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Jesus said so. It's got to be true. If you're planning on going into the prophet business, you got to expect that it's not going to be terribly profitable among those that are closest to home, those that know you when. Now, the good news, of course, is that when you finish here, most of you are not going to go back to serve in your home congregations. The bad news is no prophet, wherever he serves, can really escape his hometown, his relatives, his own household. Now, we know the situation that Jesus is describing in our text, and certainly that he himself is experiencing. Jesus is in Nazareth now, the town where he grew up. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Those of you in the online deaconess program are the exceptions to this, of course. You do serve in your home congregation. So maybe you've experienced firsthand what Jesus is describing in our text. Was it an easy transition, going from being just regular Sarah to being deaconess intern Smith? Maybe not. The people that knew Jesus growing up pictured him as a kid they'd played with on the playground, maybe beaten in games in the schoolyard. The people who knew us growing up, worse, remember a whole lot of sins they've seen us commit, heard about us committing. It's good that we don't have to go back there and be the ones they have to look up to for their spiritual care. The problem is, we really never can get away from, leave behind our pasts. We know how unworthy we really are of receiving honor. We are always at our own hometown. We are our own closest relatives. We know better than anybody that we're probably not here at the seminary only for holy reasons. You know, looks kind of like a cool idea being in the ministry. You know, I like the idea of being up front. A job where, at 26 years old, you can be, at least we think you can be, the boss. Or to be a 46-year-old who's never been the boss and now finally gets to be. Or maybe realizing that there are very holy reasons to be here we know better than anybody else, how scared to death we are of all that responsibility. You know, it is not just a matter of passing Greek or Hebrew. Souls are going to be going to heaven or hell on your watch. In either case, here's the word for you. After leaving Nazareth, verse 7, Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out. The word for you, prophet, is sent. Even if you can't get far away from home, and even though certainly we can't forget all those things we know so well about ourselves, God's prophet is with honor wherever he serves because he is sent by Christ. Even if you're not here for only the holy reasons, even if you cannot speak like angels, preach like Paul, when you leave here, you'll be sent by Christ. You don't deliver yourself. You don't put yourself wherever that's going to be. You're sent by Christ. And to be sent by Christ honors, blesses both you and those to whom you're sent. Look again at the mission of those whom Jesus sends out. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out. So the disciples went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Notice the mission on which Jesus sends those he sends: to preach repentance, cast out demons, heal. Okay? Earlier in his gospel, Mark, back in chapter 1, tells us, verse 14, Jesus himself came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." And then he went about, Mark says, verse 34 of chapter 1, and healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. See that? Preaching repentance, casting out demons, healing. Jesus sends his men out to do the very same things he himself does. You'll be doing Christ's own work. There is no greater honor than that. Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, another time he sends them out, "He who hears you hears me." There is no greater honor than that. And yes, sometimes he sends us out to be dishonored, the way he himself was dishonored. The time came when Jesus' countrymen stripped him, beat him, nailed him to the cross. You're not going to face that. But that is precisely the message that you are going to proclaim. There is no higher honor than that. What a blessing that is to those to whom you're sent. It's the assurance that they're not hearing from Joe or Sid. They're hearing from Christ. Remember in previous work careers, looking for a job, sending out a resume in the mail? Remember, you always would rather have heard from the president of the company than from some guy in personnel, right? When you've got a spiritual need, you don't want to hear from some flunky. You want to hear, you get to hear, from Christ himself. Pastor is the face, the voice that Christ has given each one of us to see and hear. Now, how precious that is going to be to every single one of us one of these days, whether we're up front or sitting in the pew. One of these days, every single one of us will come into church, to God's house, Sunday morning, feeling guilty, hang your head spiritually, ashamed to look God in the eye, and we'll say, with no particular conviction, I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And then you'll hear a voice. Maybe it'll be your own uncertain voice. Say, upon this your confession, I forgive you all your sins. And it'll be the voice Christ himself gave you to hear. And you'll know your sins are forgiven. One of these days, each of your members is going to come into your office for counsel about marriage or kids or job. And you won't pretend to have all the answers. But when you open up and take them to the scriptures, they'll know they're getting God's own counsel. And every week, week after week after week, you'll proclaim from the pulpit, Christ's death on the cross has given you salvation. And you'll know that you, yes, you too, have salvation, eternal life. And that's the greatest honor of all. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.